greatest place to be this morning. John chapter 15, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to read verses 1 through 8 together. And we are talking about being a disciple maker this morning. We've decided, I hope, in the series of messages that we've been talking about, that I want to be a disciple. Say that with me. I want to be a disciple. And if you said that and you meant that, then as a disciple, Jesus has called us to bear fruit, to reproduce. Some of the things that I share with you this morning is from a booklet that I'll talk about at the end of the service, Born to Reproduce by Dawson Trotman. It's an older book. When I was in college in 1981, this was required reading in our soul-winning class. Everybody had to read this, and so it's out of print. Brother Calder is here this morning, just happened to work out that way, but he decided this should be reprinted. My wife drew the picture on the front of Dawson Trotman, and he had him copied. I can't remember where we got him. There we go, there. How's that? Can you see that? How's that? A little more of me. That's good. That's what. Yeah. So anyway, we put those together, and I'd love to put one of these in your hand at the end of the service, but it comes with stipulations, and so we'll see what the Lord has for us. Stand with me, please, in John chapter 15. We'll read the first 8 verses, and the Bible says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except it ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that we are your disciples this morning. I pray that folks here know you as their personal Savior. At some point in their life, they have chosen you and said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior and forgive my sins. Doing that, by saying that prayer, we are born again. And then, Lord, I pray that we would choose to follow you. And so I, in a special way, would you please meet with us here today? Help people to make decisions for you that will last forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Just for the sake of time, I won't go over what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Of course, last week the Hissongs were here and Brother Dell preached. And 2 weeks ago we were on this topic and we talked about being an ambassador for Jesus Christ and living in the embassy and all that that is. And if you weren't able to catch that and you're interested in it, you can see it online on our website. But this morning we're talking about being a disciple maker. It was wonderful to be able to dedicate the Murray children this morning and seeing Adam and Kelsey and the kids up here. And the Bible says that we are to be fruitful and multiply. Psalm 127:3, as I already said earlier, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. When God created the earth, the first command he gave to Adam and Eve wasn't to go start a church or anything like that. His first command he gave to Adam and Eve was in Genesis 1, 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. And the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So God wants us to reproduce, to be more of us. God loves variety. If you look around, we come in all shapes and sizes. If you look at his creation, turkeys. We have turkeys now. We didn't used to. We got a lot of them now. Those things are disgusting. If you just look at how they walk and they're going along. And I have to, look, what are you thinking? Worse than that, turkey buzzard. If you see one of those things are nasty looking. It's just, they're just begging to be shot when you see one, you know? So But I just have to believe that you see all of that. You see people, you see God's creation. He loves variety. He wants there to be more of us, be fruitful and multiply. Mankind did that to a point, said to say, where their thoughts were only evil continually, and God had to do what we would say in today's vernacular, he did a reset. He wiped out all of creation at that time, saved 8 people, the family of Noah, on the ark. And then the first thing he told Noah after the flood, when they stepped off the ark in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So obviously the command was the same. And so for you and I today, of all the billions of people that are on the earth today, if we could do our genealogies, if you go to genealogy.com or wherever you, if you could follow it far enough back, if it goes back far enough, you would trace your roots back to one of Noah's sons. That's where all of creation has come from. Didn't come from a monkey, didn't come from an ape, didn't evolve from anything, came from actual people that God created, preserved from the ark. And so here we are this morning as part of God's creation. And for children not to be born, for new birth not to take place, there is basically 3 things that could stop that from happening. Number one, no connection. Now, years ago, Dawson Trotman preached this marriage, and he said, number one, no marriage, because obviously you'd have to be married to have children. Well, we have proven that that is not the case, sad to say. That children can come into the world whether mom and dad are married or not, but it does require a mom and dad, and there has to be a connection. And in this day and age, you even have to get more specific. It requires a male and a female. There's 2 genders, male and female. That is not hate speech. That's a fact of life. And no twisted thinking of mankind is going to change that. Let's just set the record straight. Now, having said that, there has to be a connection, though. A man and a woman need to come together for life to be born. So there's no connection. For another reason for there not to reproduce is no concern. Just nothing we're thinking about. My first wife, Lori, and I, we were married for 8 years before we had kids. Being a Griffin, you're expected to have kids. At the family reunions and things, it got to a point where they'd come to us and say, so Stan, when are you going to have kids? Well, initially, I was glad not to have kids because I wanted to make sure they understood that I didn't have to get married. My wife wasn't pregnant. I was glad to have some time go by and prove to them that, hey, I did it the right way. But after about 8 years, people, hey, when are you going to have kids? And I started having some snarky answers on that my mother kind of got mad at me about, but different things. But the bottom line was, at that time, I wasn't concerned about having kids. I was thinking about other things. I was living my life. My wife and I were playing a lot. We traveled some. We spent money. Kids cost money. I'm a count the cost type of guy, in case you don't know that, if you've been here long enough. And so obviously I'm thinking, you know, let me tell you something right now. You'll never be able to afford to have kids. Just letting you know. But you think about all of the things. But I was living selfishly, more concerned about my good time than I was about raising a family. And I think I have come to regret that, because you think you've got all the time in the world, and the fact of the matter is you don't know how long you have. And sad to say, the time with my first wife was cut short by cancer. My kids were very young when she passed away. Had I not lived selfishly, had kids sooner, my kids would have been older. She probably still would have died of cancer, but they'd gotten to appreciate their mom more. And so I'm just sharing those things to say, be careful about the decisions that you're making, because they have long-term consequences. And I was honestly, innocently doing those things. We did what we did, but we weren't concerned about having children. That wasn't on our mind. We were thinking about other things. In Luke chapter 17, you're in the book of John. Go back with me just for... There has always been a time when we have been thinking about other things. the apostles were asking Jesus, when are you coming back? When's the Lord's return going to be? And he describes what will be going on at that time. In Luke chapter 17, I hear the pages turning. We're going to be looking at verse 26. And Jesus is speaking, and if you have a red letter Bible, if you're using a pew Bible, it's on page 1100. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Listen to what they were doing. They ate, they drank, they married, they were giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. What's the word? Here's the deal. Sometimes we're just so busy living our life, we're not thinking about anything else. The folks of Lot were living sinful, don't get me wrong, but the fact of the matter is, they were going to Hannaford, they're going to the grocery store, they're going to Walmart, they're living their life, the business was carrying on, and they were not thinking about the things of God. Ever guilty of that? That's how life is, isn't it? I'll tell you, Satan can keep you so busy. No connection, no concern, no cause. No cause. David runs to the camp of the Philistines, wanting to visit his brothers. In 1 Samuel 17, we won't go to it now, but you know the story. And he gets there, and there's a battle going on, and he wants to see his brothers, and he's young, and he wants to see the fight. When I was growing up, and gee, time is going by so quickly this morning, but when I used to watch Westerns, and I'd watch Big Valley and Bonanza, and then when it was over, I would relive the episodes, and I'd be fighting, and I would have been such a good gunfighter, and I'd have taken on the bad guys, and I'm fighting in front of the mirror, and I'm fast, and I'm giving them the old 1-2, and all that stuff. And you can tell my wife's on the camera this morning. So anyway, we do all that stuff, and I just loved the battle. I loved the fight, and I could see me beating up bad guys. And that was David. And he couldn't wait to get to take on the Philistines, and his dad wouldn't let him because he was too young. But on this day, he was able to go and take some groceries for the soldiers, and he gets there, and the battle's going on, and there's this giant stepping out. Yo, Israelites, yo, you Jews over there, yo, my name's Goliath of Gath, I'm a Philistine. Choose a man. Let him come down and fight me. If he can kill me, we'll be your servants. And David said, wow, what an opportunity. And the other guy's like, and he's just thinking, man, this will be so great. And who's going to fight him? Who's going to do it? Can I go? Can I go? And his brothers are ticked off. Don't you hate it when somebody else outworks you, outsings you, singers, outpreaches you? All of those things that somebody's doing better than you can do kind of annoys me. I don't like those people. Okay? Well, those guys were soldiers intimidated by the enemy, and they didn't take kindly that there was someone that was not. And David asked his question, what have I done? When they got mad at him, said, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. He said, what have I done? Is there not a cause? Say that with me. Is there not a cause? Sometimes there's something you see that just challenges you, and you know I need to get involved in this. And if you never see something like that, boy, you must be living in a cave. So there ought to be some things every now and then that build a fire under you that you want to get involved in. I hope that's the case. And David said, I'll fight him. By golly, God gave a great victory by one young punk that didn't know any better. He took on the enemy. God saved Israel through that young man that saw that there was a cause. Years ago, everybody seems to be a Chick-fil-A fan. And years ago, Chick-fil-A was doing extremely well, growing the company, and they made up two or three decisions at the same time the economy took a downturn, and the company was in jeopardy. And so they didn't know what they were going to do, so they took their executive board and they rented a couple of some hotel rooms, and they took 2 days and they just went off, if you will, we'll call it a retreat or whatever. And they took 2 days and they just went off and they met in some rooms and they hunkered down and they tried to figure out how they were going to save the company. And then about, they said, in about the first 4 hours, you can figure out what hiring you're going to freeze, what positions you're going to cut, what bills you're going to do away with. And he said, it doesn't take very long, about 4 hours of that, and you figured out financially all that you can do. For the next day and a half, what they did was they just sat down, and I believe on a whiteboard, they just started talking about, why does Chick-fil-A exist? What is our purpose in life? Why do we exist as a restaurant? Why do we do what we do? And it was from that time right there where they figured out why they existed and what they do. And there's a book that's been written on it. It's very motivational for a Christian. And I have to ask the question, Christian, the Cornerstone Baptist Church this morning, why do we exist as a church? Why are you here as a person? What is your purpose in life? Why are you living and breathing and taking up God's time? Is this anything that you've ever thought about? And I'm afraid at times as Christians, what we do is like Doris Day. Okay, sirrah, sirrah. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to say. Hey, sirrah, sirrah. Would you like me to sing it for you? Thank you. All right. But really, I think sometimes we go through life and we're just waiting to see what the future holds. We'll take whatever opportunities come us, and if we don't, we'll stay home and read Facebook. No, I know. Am I supposed to say that? You know, what is our purpose in life, Christian? Why are we doing what we do? And I'm telling you, there is a cause. Say that with me. There is a cause. And I want us to see that this morning, and it's very important that you recognize that. In John 15, we're here, and I believe that we are born to reproduce. The Bible says, obviously, Jesus is speaking, and he goes down through the things that he highlights, and this is a passage that you're all very familiar with, and time is fleeting. And I've got to make the case this morning that we make conscious choices in our life. There's a million examples we could make of that. I made a conscious choice that I would marry Emily Lovett. She begged me, and I did. I love this job. I've driven I don't know how many vehicles in my life through work and through personal stuff, and I had a car salesman tell me one time, he said, Stan, I've sold you more vehicles than any other person I know. I don't know if that means I'm never content or whatever the reason is, but so whenever the time came, I'd make the call to this individual, tell him I was looking, he'd start looking. We had an understanding on how we would purchase it and how it would take place. It was just a matter of finding the right vehicle for the right number and whether my wife liked it or not. And that's what it all comes down to. So you make a conscious choice, and there's the vehicle in the yard, and people will ask about certain things. I remember I bought a Lincoln pickup one time, and I was so embarrassed I was driving the Lincoln pickup, I left it. I wouldn't let anybody see it because I thought, what are people going to say? That obviously I'm overpaid and overpriced, and you can't drive a Lincoln pickup. I just want to go on record. That thing was a piece of junk. But anyway, I had it. I've never had a vehicle sit in my yard where I walked out in the morning, so wow, where'd that come from? I knew where it came from because I made a conscious choice to make that happen. And I want you to know there are conscious choices that there are choices we make that we decide to make them. And I think as a Christian, you and I need to decide whether we are going to be disciple makers or not. And I believe that's what Jesus is talking about in John chapter 15, where he says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, he taketh, beareth not fruit, he taketh away. It's quite a threat right there. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot abide in the vine, no more can ye abide in me, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Say that with me. For without me, ye can do nothing. Here's the deal. Millions of people are doing wonderful things without Christ. So obviously the Bible's wrong. No. The only thing, without Christ, you can do nothing of eternal value. He's talking about reproducing. He's talking about being connected to the vine. He's talking about bearing fruit. And you cannot do that without Christ. It's the only way it works. And I want you to know that Walmart's made some money, that Bill Gates seems to be doing okay, that there's all kinds of famous people out there without Christ doing things that seem to matter to the world, but in God's economy, they are worthless. The only thing that we can accomplish of eternal value is with Jesus Christ. We need to be connected to him. There has to be a connection. That connection starts with your salvation. When you are born again, he gives you a new life in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So I need to be connected, number one. Number two, I also need to be concerned. John 15 and verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. John 15, 6, I believe, is a reference to hell. If you're not connected, they gather them, they're not bearing fruit, they cast them into the fire, and they are burned. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, said when he was looking for people, for all of his employees, if there was one thing he could do for them, is that he'd send them to hell for 24 hours. Can you imagine? I bet when you get out of hell, you'd have a real burden for the lost, wouldn't you? But we don't get that. But that's what he said. And I'll tell you what, one thing that breaks my heart, because I'm guilty of it as well, is the lack of concern that we have for the lost. C.S. Lewis says you've never met a mere mortal. Every person you're looking at in this room right now, every person you ever see, wherever you go, whatever establishment you go to, wherever you act, every living being will live forever. It's just a matter of where their residence will take place, whether it's in heaven or in hell. And bad news is there is more going to hell than there are going to heaven, and some of that's on us. Do you hear me? No connection, no concern. And lastly, no cause. I just want you to know that I believe our greatest cause as Christians, and I know that we're here to glorify God, and I know that there's a great argument in churches today that what's our greatest purpose. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know how you can glorify God without bragging about him. I don't know how you can glorify God without bringing people to him. I don't know how you can glorify God without sharing your faith and weeping for the lost and caring about them. For us, Christian, our duty is to be a disciple maker. Because I'll tell you what, once you have Christ, you have everything. And once you have everything, you ought to recognize that if they don't have it, they have nothing. That's not rocket science. It's just the way it is. And so you and I are called to be disciple makers, soul winners, reproducers, whatever it is. And I haven't had time to develop the things. Maybe tonight in the evening service we'll talk about some of the reasons why we don't do what we should do. But the fact of the matter is, what we need to do is decide, a conscious choice, I want to be a reproducer. I want to be a fruit bearer. I want to see people come to Christ. Now, here's the deal, and I've gone overtime, and I never go overtime, but I think this is so crucially important. Because the reality of it is, sometimes we're going to have to be inconvenienced to reach the lost. Sometimes we can't get it in an hour. Sometimes we might have to stay a little bit longer. And I never do this. But I'll tell you, it's so important that we recognize that we are here on this earth for a specific time and a definite reason to reach people for Jesus Christ. And if we don't do that, we have wasted our turn on this planet. It's extremely important. I'll tell you, you have to decide there's a cause, and you have to be involved, and you have to make a choice. And that choice isn't always easy. Sometimes you're going to be inconvenienced. Sometimes you're going to be embarrassed. Sometimes you'll laugh at. And the deal is this, is that not every time there's a connection, a baby is born. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes you meet couples that they've tried and tried and tried, and they just can't seem to have kids. And the reality of it is, sometimes when we share our faith with Christ and it doesn't work, we say, well, I guess I won't do that anymore. It didn't work. And Satan laughs. But the reality of it is this, we need to try and try and try and try and try and try and try, because if we don't, their blood is on our hands. And for every person that passes off into eternity, if you knew that person and you never tried, we're going to have to stand before God someday and give an account on that, because there is a cause, and it's extremely important. Heavenly Father, time goes so quickly. Lord, I don't know of a more important message than I could share this morning. The most important thing is that folks need to trust you as their personal Savior. They need to say at some point, if not even this morning, say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive my sins. Have eternal life that only comes from Christ. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And then, Lord, for us as Christians, most Christians never share their faith. That's the way it is. There's just a few that seem to have the courage to do it. Some step out and try and fail and never do it again. Some give up too easy, whatever the reason is. But Lord, we believe this morning there is a cause. And the cause is that people need Jesus greater than anything else. Because without you, they can do nothing of eternal value. So Lord, we're going to challenge folks this morning to be disciple makers. And it's in your hands. I pray that you would bless it. In Jesus' name. So what we're going to do this morning...